The book of Jeremiah and chapter 8. The book of Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 7. Even the stalks in the sky know her seasons, and the turtle dove and the swift and the thrush observe the time of their migration. But my people do not know the Lord, nor the ordinance of the Lord. The Bible talks about how God has built into the birds of the sky a body clock that allows them to decipher the times of migration. Is that right? They know their seasons, because if they live within their seasons, they are protected. If they live within their seasons, then they are guarded from the harassment of wild beasts. Because if they mate on time, then they produce their chicks on time, and they can fly out of winter on time. But if they mate the wrong time, and what happens is that their chicks are not mature enough to fly during the times of migration, then the birds will die. All right, because they are not able to fly. When everybody is flying out, they are not able to fly. They are not mature for the time of flight. That's why the Bible says that the birds know their season of migration. And I believe God is speaking to us, there is a season and a time in which you and I are going to take flight into the things that He has planned for us. The seasons are soon coming upon us. A new season is breaking upon us. A new season. And on July the 14th, to 2010, July the 14th, the Lord spoke, woke me up very early in the morning with a revelation and with a vision, or maybe it could even have been a dream just as I was about to wake up. He spoke to me so clearly, it was so audible in my ears, so audible in my heart, so audible when I was lying down. He said the next 26 to 30 months are going to be important months where I will prepare the church and equip the church and empower the church, so that she can have the prevailing power for what is yet to come in the environment. He said climatical conditions will change. He said political environments will change. He said the economic environment will change. The social environment will change. The infrastructures round about our environments will begin to change. But my church will be able to rise with prevailing power. In the darkest hour, there will be a bright shining light. And this is what the Lord spoke to me. It impressed so deeply into my heart. Since that moment of time, I've been gripped with this word. That the 26 to 30 months are important times and seasons in which the Spirit of God is beginning to prepare our lives. Beginning to cause you and I to enter into the dimensions of life, so that you will receive everything that is needed for that flight, for that migration, for that movement. For that time of moving forward into all that God has planned for you. It's another phase of the church history in this part of the world. For Asia, for the Philippines, for Indonesia, for Malaysia, for Singapore. It's a new season that is going to come upon our life. That's the reason why God desires that His people will begin to know the ordinance of the Lord, meaning the fine tunings of God, the statute, the things, the commandment, the written things of God be written upon our own hearts. So that we have a body clock on the inside of us that will allow us to migrate. Are you listening? And so God put those body clock inside the animals. He put the body clock inside the birds, so that when it's time to move, they know. They don't have GPS, they don't have spiritual prophetic ministry, but they have an internally built dynamics that will allow them to tune in with the frequencies of heaven, so that not one bird will fall to the ground without God knowing, because He has built that into them. That is the reason why God knows all things, because all things that He foreknew, all right, all things that He foreknew, He knew beforehand. He preordained certain things will happen along that line, so that exactly as He knows it, that it should happen, it will happen. So God foreknew all things. God, who foreknew all things, preordained certain kind or predetermined certain steps. In doing that, He put a tune on the inside of our spirit, so that we have a body clock, so that we will step in time. At the right time, we'll be going to school. At the right time, we'll be married. At the right place, we will enter into this dimension. At the right time, we will have our child. At the right time, our child will be in school. At the right time, you will meet me. At the right time, I will meet you. At the right seasons and time, that God will take us to the next level. So God foreknew all these things, and He preordained that we will walk into that pathway. Can you say amen to that? That's why the Bible says God set eternity in our hearts. Looking in the book of 1 Chronicles, talking about the sons of Issachar. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, and then in verse 32, of the sons of Issachar, men who understood the times with knowledge of what Israel should do, their chiefs were 200 and all their kinsmen were at their command. The Bible says that there was a company of people who were like the body clock for Israel. That if you observe them and see them, then you know exactly what to do. That they were the body clock for the entire nation. Can you understand what I'm saying? They were the body clock for the entire nation. They were the timekeepers. They were the keepers of time. If you observe them, then you know what you're supposed to do. The sons of Issachar were God's body. They were God's GPS for the entire nation because they are men who understood the times. Are you listening? And God is raising up companies like that everywhere so that when, by looking at that church, we know time. By looking at that ministry, we know time. By looking at that the sound of that man's voice, you can sense urgency, you can sense time, and you can sense strength. That voice become a voice that carries timing. A sense of urgency, a cry of urgency, a voice crying in the wilderness. The moment that sound of that voice begin to come, you can begin to read time. Hey, it's late hour. It's a night time. It's a time of crisis. It's a time of war. So the voice is built with that kind of frequency that will allow. This man of the sons of Issachar understood the times. Are you listening? Not only they understood the time, but they also have knowledge of what Israel as a whole nation should do. Because of seasons and time, God is not just moving individuals, He is moving whole nations. That's why God spoke to me that I have to lift my ministry, my prophetic ministry, from just operating in gifts and prophesy to one another, one person after another, and take the ministry to the next level, so that because I understand time, I'm not supposed to give everyone a single prophecy, but I must give what Israel should do. Collectively, the nation should do. Because the sons of Issachar are not just sons who go and do individual prophetic ministry and pray for every person, give every person a prophetic word. No, we are thinking in terms collectively of all that Israel should do together. Not just individually separate them and let them run in 200 different directions, but to pull everybody together under one purpose, one plan. So the prophetic word comes along so that the word of God, because they understand time, the word of God can begin to hold all of them together and embrace all of them together, enhance all of them together, so that Israel can do what needs to be done. Can you say amen to that? These are essential times in which that must happen. Not only that, but the sons of Issachar, they also have chief men and their kinsmen who are at their command to make sure that everybody on the grassroots will carry out the assignment. It's one thing to know the season and time. It's one thing to know that everybody should do it. It's important to make sure everybody does it. So they had kinsmen, they had commanders that can go out in the midst of the army and begin to make sure everybody is clocking in at the right time, that everybody is in step with the movement. Everybody is in step in the house fellowship, in the prayer meeting, in the children's work, in the Sunday school. Everybody is in line with what the Holy Spirit is saying. Nobody is out of line, but everybody is in line. This is a larger prophetic ministry than we can imagine. It is easy to go out and lay hands and pray for somebody and give them a word of prophecy and give everybody a tape. That everybody can do it. All can learn to prophesy one by one. We all can carry a word of God and begin to bless people. But it takes another level of maturity to understand seasons and time and to look at heaven and read the time in heaven and begin to realize God's people are not where it should be and begin to understand, have knowledge of what Israel should do to stay in time with heaven and to make sure that we have enough men, power and force so that we can determine everybody is in time with God. Why must we be in time with God? Because the devil wants to change time. The devil wants to change time. Then let's look in the book of Daniel. Because the devil knows that if you're out of step with him, you will lose your migration point. The book of Daniel chapter 2. The book of Daniel chapter 2. God is the one who is managing time. He is time itself. Eternity begins with Him and ends with Him. Are you listening? The book of Daniel chapter 2 verse 20 onwards. Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belongs to Him. It is He who changes the times and seasons. He removed kings and established kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to the man of understanding. It is he who reveals the profound things and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. Are you listening? So God is the one who changes times and season. Are you listening? He changes time. He changes season. He allows time and season to be shaped and formed. So he is the one who is the source of all change of time. Are you listening? But the devil wants to find that place so that he can wear the saints out. In the book of Daniel chapter 7, in verse 21 again, Daniel 7 verse 21, and I kept looking, and that horn was waging war with the saints and wearing them out or overpowering them until the Ancient of Days. Whenever you read the word Ancient of Days, it refers to time. All right, we sing the song, blessing and honor, glory and power, the Ancient of Days. Now, when you talk about Ancient of Days, we are talking about time. Are you listening? Because he is the beginnings of time. He is the end of time. He is a ruler over time. He is the seasons of time. If he say this is the day of judgment, then this is the day of judgment. If he say this is the day of favor, this is the day of favor. He is the one who determines time. If he say this is a day of abundance, it's the day of abundance. Nobody can stop it. He is the Ancient of Days. Are you with me? He is a keeper of days. He is a keeper of time. If he pronounces on you the day of deliverance, it is the day of deliverance. No hell can stop it. He pronounces days. He pronounces time. If he say this is the day of your freedom, nobody can keep you back in prison. Nobody can hold you back because he is the Ancient, the keeper. All right. He is a Lord of time. He is like the ruler of time. He is the master of time. He is the one who pronounces time and time happen. And that word Ancient there talks about a one who is the supreme over time. So if he determined time should be one of peace, it will be a time of peace. If he determined time, it should be a time of war, it will be war. He is the Ancient, the keeper, the ruler, the supreme, the Lord of time. Are you listening? Until the Lord of time came and pronounced judgment in favor of the saints. He said what? The enemy began to pursue them and overpower them. But God began to come and said, look, I now pass favor, the time of favor on the saints. And all of a sudden the saints begin to rise and begin to overpower the devil. Time arrived. Are you listening? Let's read 22. And the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was passed in favor of the saints of the highest one. And the time arrived when the saints took possession of the kingdom. Are you listening? But the devil knows that God holds time, and the people of God are in time. And because they are under the timing of God, they are always in a place of victory. Oh, come on. Are you listening? They're always in a place of victory. Even when they are losing, because they are in the time of God, God can turn time around. Are you listening? When they become weary and tired, with the word, God can sustain the weary. In the time of sorrow, in the time of grief, God can speak a word and turn your time away. Turn your time of sorrow. Cut short your time in righteousness. That's what God can begin to do. Can you say amen to that? The Bible tells us this is what he is going to do. And then he says in verse 25, that Satan will begin to come. He will speak against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One. And he will intend to make alteration in time and in law. And they will be given him in his hand for a time and a season and half a time. But the court will sit for judgment, and his dominion will be taken away, annihilated, destroyed forever. Then the sovereignty, the dominion, and the greatness of all the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the people of the saints of the Highest One. And his kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all the dominion will serve and obey him forever and ever. At this point, at this time, at this point, the revelation ended. Can you say amen to that? That's why the enemy will try to do everything possible. What is he trying to do? He's trying to alter time. Why? Because if you get confused in time, you won't stay in time with God. And you won't work in time with God. And thereby, he will make you and I become weary. We are not going to be able to get what we should get at the right time, at the right place, because our time is missed out. Are you listening? God wants to send it to you, but because you're reading the wrong time, you're not there on time for God. Are you listening? And when that begins to happen, you will never have the provision on time. You'll never have the word on time. You'll never have the touch of God on time. And so you're always lagging behind, and the enemy will wear you out and try to destroy you. And Bible tells us that God will begin to sit for, the court will sit for judgment, and the judgment seat will be set, and God will begin to pronounce that the work of the enemy will come to an end. Can you say amen to that? That's why we need the sons of Issachar. We need prophets to go and begin to speak his word and begin to adjust time clock. See, because you and I have been in battle with the enemy. You and I have been in battle with circumstances. The body clock on the inside of us become changed. Because when the bird becomes sick, it does not tune into the frequency of the time of the season. So because the bird is sick, because it's internally wrongly configured, it cannot stay abreast with time. And because of that, when it's time to migrate, it doesn't migrate. Are you listening? It does not know how to rise up and begin to migrate. Even when he heard the other birds flying in the sky. But because it's sick, because it's not functioning well internally, it cannot stay abreast with time. It can't do what it needs to do at the right time, at the right place. And it doesn't have the energy to put in the firepower to begin to rise up and begin to fly in with the birds. And when that happens, the enemy will wear us out. And the enemy will wear us out and take us in and can bring destruction to our life. But God sends the prophets to speak the word of God in season, in time. At the right time, the word will come. At the right time, you will always hear the voice of God. I prophesy to you in the name of Jesus that every morning God will cause your ears to be open. Every day your eyes will be open. Your spirit will become tuned. Every day when you wake up, you can sense the time of God. You can sense eternity in your heart. You can hear the sound of God's voice calling you, beckoning you to come up higher and to begin to rise up. Something sovereign will begin to take place inside you so that every day you are abreast with Him. Every day is a today for you. Every day is a now for you. Every day is not history. Every day is not past. It is now. It's today. It's always fresh. It's always present. I pray for that blessing to come on you in the name of Jesus. I pray for the Spirit of God to begin to ground to you an understanding and such a revelation of the time of heaven. Let the prophetic voice of God, let the prophetic ministry, the prophetic unction tune your spirit now and realign your timing, to readjust your timing, to cause a body clock inside you to sit aright to the tune of heaven, that eternity will be set in your heart so that you can decipher what God has begun to preordain, what He predetermined. Because of His foreknowledge, it will happen exactly according to what God has said. In the next 26 to 30 months, the Holy Spirit come upon you to prepare you, to tune you in line with heaven, so that when the day of Pentecost is fully come, you will be there. When your day of Pentecost is fully come, you will be there. You will be there to receive heaven's invasion. You will be right at the right place at the right time to receive all that God has planned for you. That none of you will receive less. You will receive all the measure of the things that God has planned for your life. Hallelujah. You believe that? Talk to me. Do you believe that? It is very essential for you and I to feel that. Amen. It's very essential for you and I to feel, because if you are not in time with what the Holy Spirit is doing, when the day of Pentecost is fully come, you will be out of place. Two disciples have left, and they have left on an Emmaus journey. They were going towards Emmaus, which was 7.5 miles away. They were taking another journey out, and Jesus came to talk to them and minister to them. These people were discouraged. And they were hurt, they were frustrated in their hearts, and because of their perception that was wrong, they were reading everything wrongly. They said, look, this man Jesus promised that he's going to be our king, he's going to be our Lord, he's going to lead us, and he's going to establish the nation of Israel. But now he is dead, and it's now 3 days, and days have passed, and now the women have come and said that someone have seen them risen, and we are so discouraged because we hoped in him. We thought our future was in him, but this man let us all down. And so as they were going, Jesus came along and walked with them and explained to them, opened their eyes and opened their understanding and opened their hearts and began to cause them to become in tune. The Bible says the moment he served the bread and wine, their eyes became open, their heart began to burn. And that very moment, and somebody said that very moment, That very moment, that same night, they rose up and left Emmaus and went back all the way to Jerusalem. I believe this is what's going to happen when our eyes and our minds and our spirit can become open, our understanding become open. All of a sudden, we are tuned in to what Israel should do. Tune in to what Israel should do. The prophetic word hits us. The revelation hits us. Our blind eyes become open. Our deaf ears become open. Our hearts begin to burn. And when that begins to happen, we have power to rise. Rise above our sorrow. Rise above our sickness. Rise above our weakness. Rise above the things that are holding us back. And bring us back into our assignment with heaven. Nothing can keep us away from where God wants us to be. We are returning home. I see masses of people returning home. I see people returning to the house of God. I see people returning to the church. I see people returning, running back home because they have seen the Lord. They have met the Lord in the ways of their waywardness, in the days of their discouragement, in the days of their fear, in their days of their frustration, in their years of hopelessness. They are going to meet Him and they're going to return back. And when they return back, they're going to say, I have seen the Lord. I have met the Lord. The time is now. He is already risen. He has appeared to Simon. He is reason, and they can testify of that supernatural encounter with God. And when they arrive, and as they begin to talk to the disciples, Jesus Himself will manifest in the midst of them. He'll confirm the experiences of these people. That's why you need to be very careful not to allow anything to discourage you and to short circuit time of God inside your heart, because God is coming your way to touch you, to deliver you, to set you free, so that you can return to the house of God and to the place of your assignment. Can you say amen to that? Why is Jesus doing all of that? Why did He go and meet Simon? Why did He meet Cleophas and his friend? Why did He meet Simon? Why did He come specifically to meet all the disciples and then came back another day to meet Thomas? Why was the reason? To bring all of them back, because something is going to happen in the future. I'm telling you, friends, all across our land of Malaysia, Singapore, Indonesia, and the Philippines, I prophesy to you, those who need to be in the house of God will be in the house of God. Those who need to return will return. Those who need to be there at the day of Pentecost will begin to come in, and they will enter into that place, because when the day of Pentecost, when the time clock of heaven is ready and it strikes, heaven will invade the place. Heaven is going to invade your church. Heaven is invade to your ministry. Heaven is going to invade your family. Heaven is going to come down. That's why you must not let anybody take you out, anybody to discourage you, anybody to confuse you, because all that internal confusion in your heart is going to divert you away from your place of assignment. You must never leave your Jerusalem. You must never leave your place of assignment. You will never leave the place where you are empowered. You must never let go of that place. But sometimes discouragement can cause you and I to walk away from where God wants us to be. But that is the devil's way of getting rid of you. But God in His mercy will walk with you to cause you to return. So that when you come back, the day of Pentecost is coming. It's not just the Pentecost of man, but in the calendars of man's calendar, God is going to assign and squeeze Himself through the calendars of man at the right time, at the appropriate day. He is going to come and meet you. It could be any day. It could be next Sunday. It could be the Sunday following. It could be your house fellowship. Any day could be that day. Every day in your life, you must begin to anticipate. When is that day coming to an end? When is that day coming? It could be today. It could be tomorrow. It could be a next day. I am anticipating. It could be any day that the Holy Spirit can come and invade from heaven. When you are ready, it can break out. When is the day the first million is going to come to you? I don't know. It could be tomorrow. It could be the next year. It could be a year from now, 5 years from now. When is a mighty harvest good going to come to our way? It could be any day. It could be any hour. Why? Because when the time clock of heaven is saying yes, you must be ready on the ground. When God is ready, you must be ready to facilitate Him coming from heaven all the way down. You must allow the Holy Spirit to invade your life and come down as freely as He wants to come down. And I'm telling you, that is the reason why the next 26 to 30 months are so essential. It is not about us. We are not asking for revival. No, we are just hearing a mandate from heaven. Prepare the upper room. prepare the upper room. That's where I'm going to take the Holy Communion before the cross. And that's where I'm going to send the Holy Spirit after the cross. So the first thing that's going to happen is this, that God's going to help you and I understand. There's a preparation that needs to take place in the upper room so that that which God promised is going to become a reality in the midst of us. Every promise He's promised us is not just going to come to pass individually, it's going to come to pass collectively. That's why God had to deal with them in the book of Acts chapter 1 and begin to bring every one of them in alignment with kingdom purpose. Every one of them in alignment with kingdom truth. Every one of them in alignment with all that He has chosen. He revealed Himself to them with many convincing proofs and made them understand, don't leave Jerusalem. Stay in Jerusalem. Remember, I said to you, John baptized with water. I will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. When I receive and when I get to heaven, I will be crowned as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'll be exalted. My Father will receive all that I. Then I will secure the Holy Spirit and I will pour down the Holy Spirit. But you must be ready waiting for me, because it's not about your time. It's about my timing. You wait. They said, God, is it going to be 40 days? No, you just wait. When the day of Pentecost will fully come, what does it mean? When heaven was ready, when Jesus was coronated, when Jesus was being crowned as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, they were ready waiting. They were ready waiting. And when the Holy Spirit came, it came down and it saw a company of people there waiting for the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit filled the whole house and filled everybody. And from then on, there was no end to what is about to happen. I'm telling you, the day of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is need to happen in our church. Get ready. In the next 26 to 30 months, we must prepare the church. We must prepare every individual, prepare every child, every family, every home, every house fellowship, every ministry, every church connected to us, every individual. We've got to make sure everybody's job, everybody is in their right place. Our mind is in the right place. Every person is in their right place. Those who have fallen, we got to find a replacement. Every department is covered. The youth is covered. The children is discovered. There must be no holes in the music department. There must be no holes in this area. There must be no holes in the sound department. There must be no holes in the video department. There must be no holes in the bookstore. There must be no holes in the academic, Destiny Academy, but every area, wherever there was an empty space, everybody must be in the right place. Why? Because when God comes down, He's going to take every one of us out. Every department is going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. Everything is going to take place sovereignly by the power of the Holy Ghost. You believe that? Come on, give Him praise and thank Him right now. That's why it is so essential for you and I to get ready, because the preparation in Acts chapter 1 was preparation for Acts chapter 2. Are you listening? The preparation for Acts chapter 1 was preparation for Acts chapter 2. Let's look in Acts chapter 1. God desires to bring every one of us into the place where we can collectively become part of what is going to happen. Not just individually looking for a revival, not individually looking for a refreshing, not individually just looking for a nice time of God's blessing upon your life. No, collectively getting the whole church ready. It is not a season and time to find out what must we do. We all should know what we must do. Oh, pastor didn't tell me. It's not about pastor telling you. It's about you understanding this is a time and everybody laboring together can get this situation ready. You do your part. If you are involved in a house fellowship, you get your house fellowship ready. If you're involved in a music department, you get the music department ready. If you're involved with the children, get the children department ready. You must be involved somewhere so that you can make sure on the ground we are all ready. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 1, the first thing that they needed to do was this, that Jesus was going to teach them concerning the kingdom of God. The kingdom truth must become something that must be so built into our life. The first important thing that the whole church must come into alignment with is kingdom truth. We're no longer going to live for personal agenda. We're going to live for the kingdom. The kingdom is going to manifest. It's not about your ministry. It's not about my ministry. It's not about your position. It's about my position. The kingdom is coming. All of us are facilitators of the kingdom. Are you listening? Everyone is a facilitator of the kingdom. The word minister is meaning you represent a kingdom. You are ministers of the kingdom. You are going to become one. That's why it is very, very essential we understand that everybody's were accurately aligned in their thinking pattern to kingdom truth. Bring the whole church in the next 26 to 30 months. Make sure that everybody in our church understand kingdom principle, kingdom lifestyle, kingdom core values. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The kingdom of God is what? Peace, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Amen. Producing righteousness, producing peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, so that the whole church will have this label, this feature upon themselves. They have righteousness, they have peace, and they have joy in the Holy Spirit. And their pursuit is the kingdom of God. And that truth, every day, truth must hit our hearts that will cause our lives to be aligned in this manner. Can you say amen to that? That's why he spent with them for 40 days and 40 nights speaking to them about the kingdom of God in verse 3. Have you got that? He spoke to them concerning the kingdom of God, and he gathered them together, and he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. Are you listening? Talk to me, are you listening? The second thing is to pull them together for corporate purpose. We got to align everybody in the church for corporate purpose. He gathered them together and commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to stay in Jerusalem and wait for what God the Father had promised. Everybody in our church must now be thinking about what has God promised our church, and keep looking towards that, keep praying towards that, keep prophesying towards that, because God wants us to stay together to hit this big time. Can you say amen to that? Do you believe that? It's not about your personal promise, your personal blessing, and the personal thing that God said to you about your own life. It will come into reality and you will fall in place when God begins to do that for the whole church. Everybody will receive their portion. Can you say amen to that? It's not just about you shooting your enemy down the bridge. It's when we all win the war, we all will return home. Can you say amen to that? It's not just about you alone. It's about every one of us winning and coming back home safely. And that's what war is all about. Can you say amen to that? That's why the second most important thing is to make sure that all the churches align, accurately aligned to corporate purpose, corporate destiny, and everybody is gathered together waiting for what is about to happen. I pray every service as you gather, there's an anticipation in your heart. It could be now. It could be today. It could be this service. It could be the next song. It could be the next prophecy. It could be the next sermon. Something can hit your life and change you forever. Are you listening to me tonight? Come on, talk to me. Are you listening to me tonight? It could be this could be this week. It could be the next 2 days. It could be the next session. It could be tomorrow morning. It could be today. Something can happen upon our life. Something lay hold of our life and it alters our life forever. I don't know, but he commanded them to gather them together so that they will anticipate of all that the Father had promised. I'm telling you, the Father had promised amazing things for Malaysia, for Singapore, for Indonesia, for the Philippines, for Asia. He has promised amazing things, and a lot of prophecy has gone forth. A lot of revelation have gone forth. A lot of declaration have gone forth. A lot of missionary prayer. A lot of intercessory prayer has gone forth. A lot of sacrifice have gone forth. A lot of lies have gone forth. I'm telling you, with all the things that God has spoken, we are anticipating it can happen. It will happen. This is our time. This is our season. Let's not leave Jerusalem. Let's stay together with what God has designed. Let's stay together. Let's hold together. Let Isaac Network people hold together. Let our Isaac churches hold together. Let our people in our own churches hold together, hold strong, encourage one another. Don't leave Jerusalem. Wait for what the Father has promised. That we are our Father's son. Something is going to happen. Let's prepare ourselves. Let's gather ourselves. Let's labor. Because when we start to do that, we keep everybody in the same place, in the same time. When it happens, it will spread upon all of us. Because we need everybody. We need everybody to become a carrier of what God's going to give to us in this hour. Can you say amen to that? Come on, talk to me. Can you say amen to that? I want you to write down number 3. The Bible tells us in verse 6, they had come together and they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? I want you to know God is going to restore the kingdom to the church. Are you listening? He's going to restore the kingdom to the church. Write down number 3. What is going to happen is this. God is going to give the church kingdom authority, kingdom power, and deputize the church to extend the kingdom. He's going to give the church kingdom authority and kingdom power so that he can deputize the church to extend the kingdom. If there's anybody who's going to be chosen to extend the kingdom, it's called the church. The church is the only one that is authorized to extend the kingdom, for extending it for the king, to go out there and conquer lands and conquer territory, conquer cities and transform nations for the sake of the kingdom. The church has been deputized for it. Can you say amen to that? That's why when you and I can understand that, we know there is a greater mandate coming for national transformation. There is a greater mandate coming for city transformation. And he said, is it time? They asked Jesus, Lord, is it at this time that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? God said, I'm not restoring the kingdom to Israel, but I'm restoring the kingdom to the church. The church will carry the kingdom, and that is going to be the forerunner for everything else that's going to happen. Let me prophesy to you in the name of Jesus that when this thing happens in your church will carry kingdom authority. The keys of the kingdom of heaven will be given to your church. The keys of the kingdom of heaven will be given to your church, and your church will bind whatsoever that needs to be bound on earth, and heaven will respond to it. Your church will loose whatever needs to loose on earth, and heaven will respond to it. Why? Because you have been chosen by God to extend the kingdom in your territory, in your city, in the north, in the south, in the east, in the west. God is looking for men and women who will receive a kingdom mandate from above. Do you know not every church has a kingdom mandate? Because they didn't start kingdom way. They start because of a split. They start because of a trouble. They started because of some contention. And because of the reason, they will not receive the kingdom mandate. But there are churches that God has raised by His power, His glory, His might at the right time, right place. He's going to give them the kingdom mandate. The kingdom is going to be restored to the to that church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that church will bind and heaven will respond. That church will loose on earth and heaven will respond. That church will have the keys of the kingdom. And whatever they do, the Holy Spirit will begin to sanction it and begin to carry out extension of His kingdom everywhere. The boundaries will increase. The territories will increase. Our kingdom influence in the marketplace. Our kingdom influence in education. Our kingdom influence in the social arena. In the political arena. In the financial arena. God will give us ability as a kingdom people to begin to push back the kingdoms of this world, so that the kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our Christ. And He will reign and forever and ever and ever. I'm telling you, the church, when suddenly he receives a kingdom mandate, they will go everywhere. Wherever they go, the Lord will work with them. In the marketplace, the Lord will work with them. On the lift, God will work with them. In the children's school, there, God will work with them. Even as they go down to the bus stop and talk, the kingdom of God will just begin to expand. Everywhere they go, they will swallow up. They will touch. And I'm telling you, our people will become righteous and they will possess the land. They will take territories for God. I speak to you in the name of Jesus. Let your people rise in this manner with a kingdom mandate. Let your people rise in this manner with a kingdom authority. Let your people rise in this manner with kingdom influence, so that wherever they go, they will swallow up and begin to overpower and begin to prevail and begin to bring into the influence of the kingdom. Every territory they walk in, the Lord will give it to them. Every place that the sole of your foot will go on, the Lord will give it to you. If you walk into your bedroom, God will touch your bedroom. If you walk into your living room, God will touch your living room. When you walk into the business arena, God will touch your business arena. You walk into the territory of somebody else, into somebody else's office, God will touch the people in that place, because your feet carries the message of the kingdom. How great the Lord our God reigns. He says, how beautiful are the feet of Him who brings good news, declaring our God reigns. Everywhere you go, the place where you begin to declare He is Lord and present the message of the kingdom, that place will become the territory and domain of the Lord. I'm telling you in the name of Jesus, that's why the church must get ready. Because in the next 26 to 30 months, the kingdom mandate is going to come to us. You know, I don't know if you realize that 26 to 30 months is not a long time. But in my heart, I can feel the intensity every day as I go to lie down. I can feel it's nearer and nearer and nearer. I know it's just only a few days since He spoke to me on July the 14th. But since until just 14 to right now, what day is today? 25th. 26th. We're only 26th. Man, just 12 days, I can feel like that. So it's like a year has passed that I've been living in this message for a whole year. I feel like as though there's so much is happening. And this message is reshaping, redesigning everything that we are doing and thinking. Why? Because it's become time. It become time is focused. And there's, you know, it's something that is pressuring on our spirit. And we can feel the kingdom mandate is coming. You know, when the church is church and the church is regular and the church have regular services until the mandate begins to come. The day you became mandate, you're no longer campaigning, you have won the election. You have won the election. That's why the mandate is there. That's why I'm telling you, friends, the church has been going on for ages and ages and ages and ages. And we have been in this nation. You have been in your nation. You've been in the nations of the world. And the church is just carrying on doing usual work. Because the church has not won something in the spirit world. But that connection of heaven comes to you and your election is sure. Oh, when your election is sure, then you have the mandate to rule and to govern and begin to take over territory. I want to tell you, your church will sit up strong and begin to feel that they have received the mandate. The election is sure and we have won in the spirit world and we have received things in the spirit world. When we walk down on this earth, we can walk with our chest lifted up high because we know we have the mandate to change the world. Nobody is going to tell us that we can't because God has said we go into all the world. But before he said go into all the world, he said all authority and power has been given back to me. Now go therefore, because all authority has been given to him and all power has been given. He said go therefore and extend the kingdom. Can you say amen to that? Do you believe that? That's why I want you to begin to prepare our churches, prepare your family, prepare your homes, prepare your business, prepare your every aspect of your life, because once the kingdom mandate is there and the mandate is here, you cannot loiter, you cannot walk around to and fro doing other things. A man must become totally surrendered and become yielded to begin to fulfill the one who have enlisted him. Can you say amen to that? To please the one who has enlisted. We cannot become involved in civilian pursuit. We are chosen by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to carry out that mandate in this last hour. Can you say amen to that? And he said to them, it's not for you to know times and seasons and epochs which the Father had fixed by his own authority, but you shall receive power from on high and you shall become my witnesses both in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, even to the uttermost parts of the earth. God is saying how far you want to go. Are you listening? He will give us enough to go all the way. But we must choose to go all the way. Write this down. God will give us enough to go all the way. But we must choose to go all the way. I'll tell you why the danger is in this statement. God will give us enough to go all the way. We must choose to go all the way. Do you know? When the Holy Spirit came down upon the disciples and upon the apostles, many of them did not want to go out. Why? Because their home was there, their land was there, their family was there. The apostles kept remaining in Jerusalem, But the prophecy in AD 70, all the Roman Empire is going to come and destroy entire nation of Jerusalem and destroy the temple. God foreknew these things will happen. And so he sent a persecution to get them all out. Because if they did not go out of Jerusalem, all of them would have been dead. God in his mercy. Sometimes God gives us everything to go all the way. We take everything and go half the way. And you must be ready to go all the way. If God wants you to go all the way, go all the way. If it means to go on to glory, go on to glory. If it means to tend the nations around, it means to go full strength. Everything that you want to do. Because what you're going to receive is that you're going to be receiving power from on high to go all the way. Are you listening? But you must choose in your heart when you receive this power, you're not going halfway or you're not going to divert the power for your ways. God's going to bless you with every financial resource, but you cannot divert the funds to yourself. He's going to give you all the measure of strength, but it cannot be diverted to pleasure and sin. He's going to give you the revelation. He's going to give you the wisdom. He's going to give you the influence. He's going to give you the platform. He's going to give you the status in society. He's going to give you the land. He's going to give you the house. He's going to give you the position. But you cannot take all these things and go on for your own right. You got to take it to go finish and finish everything he wants you to finish and be his witness to the end. Can you say amen to that? So that the whole world will have a witness that you are truly his disciple and you're truly his son and you are truly well pleasing before the sight of the Lord. How many times we have church preparing for revival only to take the revival to their own agenda? How many times the Holy Spirit come upon the church and the church is blessed with a revival and then they start to have a commercialization of the revival. No, we are not talking about commercializing the revival. We are talking about changing city. We're changing nation. We're transforming nations. It's not just to bring everybody to our church and let everybody see the revival. No, we're going to train them to go take their own nation, train them to go change their whole city, equip them with all the resources God gives to us and train them and send them out. Rather than this, make this a spiritual Makkah, we want to make sure that we begin to train them that every place that they will go, the Spirit of God will turn that city and that nation, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, even to the uttermost parts of the earth, will have men that we can send from here. Men will go from here to the uttermost parts of the earth, and every area, every territory will see the same thing, that they can be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, not only near, but far away, into every part of the world, into the nations of the world. 221 nations of the world can have Isaac pastors and leaders go and represent every city, every nation, every state. I pray to God, God be merciful to us, that you will give us men who will be his witness, those who witness God, those who sense God, those who see God, those who touch God, those who carry God will go all the way to the place called finish, that we'll bring everything back to him, bring all the kingdoms of this world back to the Lord Jesus Christ, and cause every knee to bow before him, every nation to bow before him, everyone to serve him, and everyone to show honor and allegiance to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. For this reason we are called, and for this reason we will rise, and for this reason we will have strength to finish, because we want to finish all the way. So give us everything that is needed. When the Holy Spirit came down for the next 200 years, for the next 200, 300 years, they carried on and carried on and carried on and carried on until the whole known world had heard about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray everything that is known to you, every place that you are known, the gospel will spread to that corner and that corner and that corner and that corner and that corner. For the next 200 years, it continued with strength that nobody could destroy it. They could not destroy the church. They could burn them on stake. They could put them in the catacombs. They could put them in, you know, they could put them in the lion's den. They could burn them with cooking oil. But nothing could stop the church. The church was on rampaging against every onslaught of the enemy. City after city. Different religions have been a factor. They travel everywhere to such an extent they spread all across the Roman territory. Wherever there were roads, they went. Wherever there were no roads, they went. Where there were ships, they went. Wherever there was no place or infrastructure, yet they went. They went everywhere. Are you listening? They went everywhere and the Lord worked with them. I pray that day will begin to come. Receive everything God is going to give to you. Desire everything he's giving to you, because you need that for the whole journey. So I'm saying to God, Lord, in the next 26 to 30 months, give me everything. Whatever I need for the next 200 years. Not that I'm going to live 200 years, but I can prepare some others. I can prepare another 20 people, another 40 people to take what God is giving to us. If the Lord tarries in my lifetime and he wants to come back in the lifetime of my grandchildren, so be it. But I will equip the next generation with everything God has given to me, so that they will have power to finish, that they will have the grace to finish until the day is done, so that we will live out as complete witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ in the last days. Can you say amen to that? That's what I believe. I believe in the 26 to 30 months, I have all my agenda, I have all my program, I have all my timetable. I hope the years of the Spirit of God, you know, the Holy Spirit will be speaking in your ears, so that you won't say, well, we heard all this, but what must we do? I hope you're not that dull and that stupid. You can hear what needs to be done. Give me all that needs to be. I'll take from you the Word of God. I'll take from you the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'll take from you everything, the dimensions of the Holy Spirit. Give me everything. Give me the Word. Give me the ability. Give me the skill. Give me my strength. Give me my strength back. Give me my mind. Give me an ability. Give me a body. Give me the resources. Give me car. Give me land. Give me people. Give me technology. Give me whatever that's needed. Give me the infrastructure. Give me men in high places. Give me the internet. Give me live stream, give me radio, give me television, give me anything, whatever you want to give it to me in the next 26 to 30 months, give it to me, because I am taking this and I'm going to all the way until every tribe will bow, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess. I have all my agenda planned out.
I hope that's how you think. And don't come and ask me, well, what are the practical things? I'll take my hand and hit you. This is a practical thing. Are you listening? This is a practical thing. Give us everything so that we can go all the way. In verse 9, after he had said these things, he lifted up. He was lifted up. And while they were looking, a cloud received him out of heaven. And they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going. Behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. And they said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, everybody say, this Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. Are you listening? This is very, 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 very important. This Jesus who's going up is coming down. We have a time framework. We have a time framework. He is going up is the beginning of time. He is coming down is the end of time. Are you listening? The world is not going to go on forever and forever and ever. What happens to him will determine how long we have. Are you listening? Talk to me. Are you listening? I hope you can decipher what I'm saying. I hope the Spirit of God give you understanding. This Jesus that is going up, he will also come down in the same manner. It's not going to be another Jesus, the same one. The same one who died on the cross of Calvary is going to be the same one going into heaven to be exalted. The same one that's exalted is the same one returning. The same one that has received a name higher than every other name. The same one every day until the end of time. We have no change of Jesus. It's not one that was on the cross and another one misplaced him and died and somebody buried another Jesus. And somebody, you know, Jesus did not actually die because he had a twin brother. The lies of all these pseudo-Christians, that I'm also the Christ, I'm also another Christ, a Christ here, a Christ there. This same Jesus that died on the cross of Calvary, that we know now, is a Christ that's up there in the heaven, is the same Christ that's going to return. That's why we cannot change the Jesus. We cannot change the gospel. We cannot change the spirit. In the next 26 to 30 months that we will lay hold of the same Jesus that we know, the Jesus that you have heard and seen of me, the Jesus that you have been instructed with, the Jesus that I have introduced you to, is the same Jesus you will keep in your heart. Don't look for another Jesus. Don't look for another gospel. Do not look for another spirit, because if you do, then there's going to be an end of time. Why? Because it is this same Jesus that we have to do with. Do you know how many people don't believe in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know how many people have already changed the real Jesus to a false one? How many people have changed the real Jesus to a simple Jesus who is almost equivalent to Santa Claus? That's why to have Santa and Jesus walking in the same platform is dangerous. And we present Christmas in this manner. We just got to get rid of this pagan religion out of our environment. This same Jesus, the Jesus that we love, the Jesus that died for us, the Jesus that rose for us, the Jesus that lives in us, and the Jesus that is in the heavens, and the Jesus that will return in the sky, and the Jesus that dwell among us, the Jesus whom we are seeking, the Jesus who will suddenly appear in the temple. This is all the same Jesus. There is no other. The same one in the gospel, the same one that we follow in the Old Testament, the same one Paul preached, is the same Jesus that you and I have to do with. Can you say amen to that? There is no another Jesus for the dark ages. There's no Jesus, extra Jesus for the Methodist church or the Presbyterian church, another Jesus for the Catholic church. There's only one Jesus for every nation, for every tribe. He lives by the same code of law. He lives by the same rule. He is the same Son of the living God who operates in the same way. That's why you can go to any church and preach in any church and begin to reveal the same Jesus you know is the Jesus they need to know. The Jesus you know is the Jesus you need to present everywhere. I want to pray to God in the name of Jesus that in the next 26 to 30 months, you know this Jesus. They went everywhere and preached Christ. They went everywhere and began to reveal Jesus. They went everywhere and began to let the whole world see this one that they are connected to, and this one that they are related to, this one that they have all the knowledge about. And it's this one that you and I need to present. Can you say amen to that? I pray that God will give you such a revelation of knowing Him. I pray in the name of Jesus, every veil will be broken. You will recognize Him. You will know Him. In the next 26 to 30 months, that every limitation between you and Him will be broken. Every blindness will be broken. You will know the Lord. You will know His voice. You will know His presence. You will know this Jesus who has died for you, walked with you for this many years. And the Holy Spirit will come and reveal to you not another Jesus, but the same Jesus. The same Holy Spirit that is going to be sent from above will come and reveal to you the same Jesus you knew on the earth. The same Jesus you knew, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you. And in the time of worship, you will meet the same Jesus that you already walked with Him. And that's what He said, this same Jesus. I want you to lift your hands right now and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal Christ to you. To reveal the same Jesus that Paul knew, the same Jesus that apostles knew, the same Jesus that our fathers know, the same Jesus that our forefathers knew, the same Jesus that the apostolic fathers knew, the same Jesus must be made known to us, that there is no another. Let there be no generation that will begin to rise that does not know our Jesus. This same Jesus, this same Jesus, this same Jesus, this same Jesus, the same name, the same authority, the same power. The Jesus I know is the Jesus you need to know. The Jesus you know is the Jesus that they need to know. That all of us will know the same one who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and all powerful, almighty Son of the living God. Who do men say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son, the living, the God. Oh, you are the honorable Son of the living God, a well-pleasing Son before God. You have the voice of God. You are the voice of God to the nations of the world. You, God raised you up. God exalted you. God caused you to sit at the right hand, and God gave you the promise of the Holy Spirit, and you poured out the Holy Spirit. God gave you a name higher than every other name, and you gave that name. You gave you authority. You gave that authority, and that same Jesus from whom we received the Holy Spirit, that same Jesus from whom we receive authority and power, the same Jesus who is now giving you and I the mandate. This Jesus is what you and I need to get close to. Hallelujah. Father, I pray, open up the place of intimacy in the next 26 to 30 months. We will know you. We will love you. We will serve you. We will know Jesus far beyond measure. Oh, we will know Him as unlimited. We will know Him as Lord, unstoppable. We will know Him as the amazing one, the awesome one. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got a few more verses of scripture. Please be seated. In verse 12, then they returned to Jerusalem. Now I hope you know the next 26 to 30 months, you know what to do. There will never be in a place that like, oh, I don't know what to do. What are the practical things? Go find out who He is. Let the Father unveil to you. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Let the Lord open your eyes. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father has revealed this to you. But let there be a revelation of who Jesus is, because we have to do with this man, Jesus, the Son of the living God. And they returned to Jerusalem from there, from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. When they had entered the city, they went up to the upper room. They were staying together. That is Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, and Simon the Zealot, Judas, the son of James. They were all together with one mind, were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Peter stood up and said it, that we need to make sure that the scripture is fulfilled in verse 16, which the Holy Spirit foretold by the mouth of David concerning Judas. Are you listening? It came about, the Bible tells us, therefore, in verse 21, it's necessary that one of the men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John until the day that He was taken up from us. One of these must become a witness with His resurrection. So they put forward two names, and finally they got one true. He said, Lord, you know, in verse 24, the hearts of all men, show us one, show us which one of these two you have chosen to occupy this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas turned aside to go on his own way to his own place. I'm praying that God will bring into our church, into our leadership, into our membership, the right people to occupy this ministry that's about to explode in our church. I pray the right men will come, the right women will come, the right leader will rise, the right minister will rise, the right believer will rise, the right musician will rise, the right song leader will be rising, the right usher will be rising, the right people to occupy this ministry and get ready for the explosion that's going to come. I pray you will receive choice men. I pray that you receive mighty men. I pray that you receive men and women that will stand in the gap of Judas for everyone who has betrayed you. There will be another one that is so worthy of the call of God. For everyone that has left, there will be another person that will come in to stay. For everyone that has gone, there will be many others that will come and occupy the territory so that the ministry will be not left suffering. The ministry will not be hurting. The work will not be suffering. But there will be the right person in the right place at the right time getting ready for the day of Pentecost is about to happen. I pray in the name of Jesus, all your churches will become open to receive the right company of people, the right musician, the right song leaders, the next generation of people, the next musician, the next person to come and begin to song lead in your church, to lead your church in prayer, the next teacher in your school, the next begin to draw the right people into all facets of your ministry, that they will occupy the place for wherever there's empty place, they will occupy until every chair is full, until every home is full, that until every chair is full and every ministry is full, that we have all the manpower getting ready. All the manpower that we need for the future. Holy Spirit, release it into our church. The manpower, the technology, the resources, the finances that we need. All the people we need to finish your assignment. Give it to us quickly. In the next 26 to 30 months, we prophesy to the north. We prophesy to the south. We prophesy to the east. We prophesy to the west. Let them come from everywhere. All the men and women that needed to be in the house, let them be found in the house. We prophesy them back into the chair. We prophesy them back into the house. We say, sinners return home. Sons return home. In the name of Jesus, come back home. Come into this place. This is a place preordained for you. Come in the name of Jesus. Every husband that needs to get saved, every husband that needs to get healed, every husband that needs to get delivered, every wife, every child, every family that needs to be here, we declare, let them come, let them return in the name of Jesus, so that there is no gap, that there is no missing, there is no lack, that there is not going to be a time where there's going to be any kind of empty space. Why? Because you will, in the next 26 to 30 months, bring in the right personnel, bring in the right person, and bring them here to occupy the place of the ministry that you have given it to us, so that when the day of Pentecost is fully come, they will be here with us, getting ready to extend the kingdom of God with power and might to the ends of the world. I want you to stand to your feet, begin to ask the Holy Spirit to touch us afresh, that our churches will never be the same again. Our families will never be the same again. Our house fellowships will never be the same again. Every man that needs to be there will be there. Every person that needs to be there will be there. Every minister, every child that needs to be there. We call on the teachers in the name of Jesus into Destiny Academy. The teachers that needs to be there will be released in Jesus' name. We thank God for all the people that will begin to take all the goods of Destiny, trendsetters into the nations of the world, the sportswear. We pray that they will arise, and the right people in the right nations will open up the business arena in the name of Jesus. The pastors and leaders and in the Isaac churches everywhere, men will rise in every place and say, yes, we join you, so that we can get ready for the outpouring. We pray for sons and daughters into the nations of the world. Let them rise in the 221 nations of the world. Let the sound of that man's voice be heard. Let the Macedonian cry come forth. Let the right men rise. Let the right Cornelius rise. The Cornelius connections in all the nations of the world. Let them be stationed everywhere. So when the day of Pentecost is fully come, they will all together in one place. We thank you. We honor you today, Lord. Let the 26 to 30 months be the days of heaven on earth. Hallelujah. Come on, give him praise and thank him. Give him praise and thank him. Give him praise and thank him. This is our portion. This is our time. This is our hour. A new day is going to break out for the rest of us in these days. new things will begin to break out. Hallelujah. Can you believe God for that? Talk to me. Can you believe God for that? Do you really believe God for that? Won't you stretch your hands one more time? Let me pray for you that the Holy Spirit will rest mightily upon you and get you ready in the next 26 to 30 months. Every day counts. Every hour counts. Every moment counts. Every chapter in the Bible counts. Every ounce of energy is going to count. If you keep pushing and pushing and pushing into the spirit world, the day of Pentecost will come and heaven will invade the place. The days of heaven on earth. It's going to become your portion. Father, I pray that you will envelop every man and every woman at the sound of my voice, that there will be a supernatural stirring in our heart. There will be a supernatural release in the spirit, that our spirit becomes so tuned to heaven that we'll be ready for these days of great outpouring. Let your outpouring begin. Let there be an outpouring in the church. Let there be a revival in the land. Let there be breakthroughs in the city. Hallelujah. Come on, give him praise and thank him right now. Hallelujah. A shout of praise. Hallelujah. The shout of praise. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.